Well, good morning, folks. If you're here in the auditorium or up at the gallery in Church in the Marketplace, and if you're listening in online, we pray that you will have a special sense of God's presence as you listen this morning. Well, we're doing a little series following Easter, and we called it The Best News Ever. Well, it's actually not an original title. It comes from Saddleback Church in Los Angeles and a series of sermons that I read that they did over there. Today, what I want us to do is look at how a risen Jesus means that you and I have power in our lives to help us overcome some of the things in life that confront us. You'll know some of these names: Fox, CNN, NBC, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, The Huffington Post. You'll know The Sydney Morning Herald, you'll know The Australian, you'll know The Daily Telegraph. All of them and others like them exist within the confines of their perspective worldviews to provide one major deliverable, which is news. Today we have access to news in ways that just 5 years ago we wouldn't have imagined. From 24-hour television networks to digital web-based sites, we're saturated with the amount of news that we receive. And unfortunately, not only the quantity, but often the very nature of the news, it helps to increase and to exacerbate our sense of hopelessness or our feelings of fear or our dread of despair. Truth be told, we're surrounded and we're inundated often by bad, horrific, mind-numbing news. So today, in the face of all the bad news, I want to bring you the best news you've ever heard, courtesy not of the news media, not just from the mind of a preacher, but from Scripture, from the God-breathed, Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. So hang on to your anticipation. Hold on to your desire for coffee or, I don't know, one of Lucien Way's chocolates. Hang on if you're hanging out for a mocha or a caramel macchiato or whatever it is you have after church, because first of all, I want you to hear the best news ever. So as we prepare to do that, let's pray. Lord God, thank you that your news is good news. So help us to take it, to receive it, to have a sense of joy and hope in our hearts. That is an antidote to so much of what we see and hear and feel and experience of the world around us. Help us to believe that you are God of all things, and all things are ultimately in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Through the week I was at a funeral. The funeral was presided over by a Catholic priest. It was a formal Catholic funeral liturgy. So at one point there were these words: "Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world." To which everybody replies, "Have mercy on us." A second time the priest says, "Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world." To which we reply, "Have mercy on us." The third time, "Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world." Everyone replies, "Grant us your peace." So some of you obviously recognize those words. They're words that we sometimes use in a communion liturgy as well. Now, if you were to ask most people today to describe who Jesus was, I don't reckon too many of them would say Jesus was the Lamb of God. You have to know your Bible pretty well, and you have to know a bit of theology, if you like, to understand that. But Jesus, the Lamb of God, is at the heart of what we're thinking about today. John the Apostle, on the island of Patmos, inspired by the Spirit of God, writing what we now know as the book of Revelation, the last book in the Christian scriptures, says in Revelation 12, verse 11, "And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. They were overcomers." Jesus' agenda is freedom. So here's the best news ever. Jesus' purpose, the reason Jesus came, Jesus' agenda is to bring freedom. The best news ever is freedom. Jesus, in some parts of the Bible, called the Lamb of God. He came to emancipate us, to free us. The best news is freedom. And that freedom is overcoming the things that bind us, that constrain us, that bedevil us, that limit us, that harass us, that demean us, that try to make us less than God in Christ intends for us to be. The prophet Isaiah spoke about the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, and his great news in the book that bears his name. So in Isaiah 58 verse 6 it says, "To loose the chains of injustice and to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke." Folks, we live in a world where people find themselves bound up. Bound up by what the Bible generalizes as sin, but bound up by pornography and sexual immorality and addiction and alcoholism and dismay and anxiety and fear and confusion, the past, the present, the future, bound up by their sense of failure and defeat, and for some, the unexplainable addiction to mocha coffee. I'm just kidding. So much bondage. And the most powerful person on the planet isn't the one with riches or the one with guns or the one with armies or the one with fame. The most powerful person on the planet is a person set free from the things that bind them. Jesus, set free by the blood of the Lamb, to use John's words. Because at the end of the day, free people can do what other people can't. It was a free man who approached Pharaoh in Egypt and said, "Let my people go." It was a free man who stepped into the promised land and said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It was a free man who stared down a giant called Goliath and said, "You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty." It was a free young man who refused to bow and showed his freedom in the midst of a fiery furnace. It was a free man who prayed down fire from heaven and then had the audacity to say, "Get ready, here comes the rain." In more recent history, it was a free man who declared, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Something good can come out of the USA. It was a free man who confronted the evil of slavery and then declared, "With malice towards none and charity towards all." It was a free young man who had a dream that one day America would be a nation where people would be judged not by the color of their skin, but rather by the content of their character. But the greatest expression of freedom came 2,000 years ago when, hanging on a tree by his sacrifice, Christ, a free man, freedom incarnate, personified what he declared in John 8:36, "For he who the Son sets free is free indeed." Freedom, eternal freedom, freedom of the Spirit, freedom to go beyond just existing into living. Folks, that freedom doesn't come from our human institutions or our organizations or our writings. Our freedom comes from the one whose grace and whose goodness to us hung on a cross and was 3 days later resurrected to new life and complete freedom. John 8:32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So what's the great news? The great news is that today, through Jesus, you and me, we can be free from a life of what the Bible calls sin and its consequences. What's the great news? It's that when we accept his freedom, our life will never be the same. We will be baptized with Christ, Romans says, crucified with Christ, Galatians says, seated with Christ, Ephesians says, strengthened by Christ, Philippians says, hidden with Christ, Colossians says, reigning with Christ, Revelation says. Friends, behold the Lamb of God. It's the great news of the cross. Jesus is the Lamb of God, and he came to engage us and to empower us with the great news of the cross, salvation and eternal life. Galatians 3:13 says, "For hung on a tree, he became a curse for us." John 3:16 says, "For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Friends, no other symbol incorporates passion and promise like the cross. It's a simple symbol, really. Two pieces of wood, one vertical, one horizontal. Multi-million dollar advertising campaigns haven't been able to reproduce the loyalty and the commitment and the multi-generational allegiance to a message that's conveyed by this cross. It's not written on the wood, but it's incarnated in the spirit of what it represents. The universal Christian symbol doesn't just convey a message of what is to come, but of what life really is. Life is both vertical and horizontal. Vertically, we stand connected to God, His kingdom, eternal life, spiritual truth, divine principles, to glory. Horizontally, to our left and our right, we exist surrounded by, revealed by, through community and relationships and family and culture and society. The cross is both vertical and it's horizontal. It's both. It's both redemption and relationship. It's both holiness and humility. It's covenant and community. It's kingdom and society. It's righteousness and justice. It's salvation and transformation. It's Billy Graham and Dr. Martin Luther King. It's faith and it's action. It's sanctification and service. It's TGNI in Fiji and church in the marketplace outside our front door. Jesus came to reconcile with truth and love, conviction with compassion, love for God and love for one another. And the great news for you and me today lies in the fact that what Jesus did on the cross serves as the antidote to our confusion. What does that mean? It means that Jesus came to truly define us. Are we defined by our past? No. Are we defined by our circumstances? No. Are we defined by what people say about us? No. Are we defined by Facebook and Instagram and Twitter? No, no. There's a better understanding of who we are. The great news is that what took place on the cross is really simple. Jesus defines you and me. And when we embrace that, when we accept that, then we understand that we're not defined by what surrounds us. We're defined by God's Spirit in us. We're not defined by our circumstances. We're defined by His covenant. We're not defined by the hellish circumstances we may be going through. We're defined by the heaven we are going to. We're not defined by our failures. We're defined by His forgiveness. And for all the religious folk here, we're not defined by what we do for God. We're defined by what God's already done for us. That's the reality of the gospel of Jesus. We're defined by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're defined by Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So we live on this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loves us and gave His life for us. And when we know who He is, we discover who we are. And yes, right now we live in challenging times. And it really should challenge us. The moment we embrace the reality of Jesus, the Lamb of God, the freedom, the cross that's both vertical and horizontal, then we discover who we are. Who are we? We are now one another in Christ. Who are we? Are we just another institution in society? No. Are we another religious faith story competing in the marketplace of ideas? No. Are we a feel-good apparatus for the spiritually impaired? No. Are we an antiquated conduit for a set of irrelevant values no longer applicable in the world of Facebook and iPads and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube? No. Who are we? When we accept and embrace this greatest news of all, then we can respond with some clarity and conviction and with courage this way. We're the light of the world. We're a city on a hill. We're people of the word. We're salt and light. We're disciples and witnesses and Christ followers. We're evangelists, pastors and teachers. We're children of the cross. We're fruit of the empty tomb. We're products of the upper room. We're the redeemed of the Lord. We're the sheep of His pasture. We're forgiven. We're free. We're favored. We're called. We're chosen. We're worshippers. We're world changers and history makers. Here's the great news. We are not Google. We are not Microsoft. We're not Holden or Ford. We're not McDonald's. We're the Church of Jesus Christ. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And by the way, with great deference to the beautiful tapestry and mosaic of diversity, We're not first and foremost black or white or yellow or brown or Aboriginal or charismatic or traditional. You get the idea. We're no longer, Paul said, male or female, slave or free, Jew or Gentile. We are above all born again children of the living God. We're recipients of the greatest news of all. We're God's children. We're Jesus' brothers and sisters, called by his name, born for this hour, not to fail or merely survive, but to have life and life abundantly. Behold the Lamb of God. It's the great news of overcoming. Jesus is the Lamb of God, and he came to equip us with great news, the power to overcome. Revelation 12:11, we started with, it says, "And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much they were afraid to die." Folks, there are two kinds of people here today. Those who have overcome adversity in a storm or a difficult chapter in life, and those who one day will. We've all been through something. So let me ask you respectfully, if you've been through something significant, at least one thing in your life, not a migraine headache or a cold latte, but you've been through something much bigger in your life, if you've been through at least one big storm or challenge that you've had to overcome, raise one hand. Pretty universal, isn't it? If you've been through a couple of them, raise two hands. If you've been through so many you've lost count, raise both hands and a foot. If you've been through so many, if I Google your name, a national weather warning shows up. Just kidding. But I know for some of us it feels like that sometimes. Here's the great news. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, equips us with power to overcome. When we accept Jesus and receive him in our lives, we immediately join, we become bona fide card-carrying members of the "no weapon formed against me, greater is he that is in me, if God be for us, who can be against us, the battle is mine, says the Lord," overcomers club. Because we learn in life that sometimes we have to go through to get to. Joseph went to the pit to get to the palace. The Israelites went through the desert to get to the promised land. The Hebrew boys went through the fire to get to the king's court. Jesus went through Gethsemane to get to the cross. Folks, here's the good news, the gospel, the great news. With God in Christ, we will overcome. How can I be so certain? It's just a matter of due biblical diligence. Did Joseph stay in the pit? No. Did the Israelites stay in the desert? No. Did the Hebrew boys stay in the furnace? No. Did Jesus stay in the tomb? No. That's the great news. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So you may ask, if I accept Jesus, if I become a Christ follower, will I live a life free from adversity or problems? And Romans 8:37 says, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." What's the great news? No matter what comes our way, when we live in Christ and Christ lives in us, we overcome. Really? Yes. For every single bit of darkness, there will be light. And when light stands next to darkness, light always wins. For every Pharaoh, there must be a Moses. For every Goliath, there must be a David. For every Nebuchadnezzar, there must be a Daniel. For every Jezebel, there must be an Elijah. For every Herod, there must be a Jesus. And for every evil that rises up against you, there is a mightier God that rises up for you. That's the reality of the gospel. The purpose of God is greater than the brokenness of man. What's the great news? Jesus is the great news. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the great news. Simply stated, his life inspires, his death redeems, his resurrection empowers, his grace is sufficient, his freedom completes, his joy strengthens, his spirit comforts, his goodness follows, his stripes heal, his name delivers, and his mercy endures forever. Behold the Lamb of God. Let's pray. righteous God, sovereign God, holy God, mighty God, triumphant God, victorious God, heavenly Father. We come before you today acknowledging that Jesus is the way. Thank you for the convicting power of your Holy Spirit that through your word we come to the reality that Jesus is Lord of all. Lord, I pray that every single person here or listening right now, every single life that has yet to realize or recognize you might have that moment of clarity that salvation comes through Jesus. And for every single person struggling, every person doubting, everyone who right now is going through very adversarial, very hurtful circumstances, every person going through their pit, please, God, I ask you to empower them with the reality that through Christ Jesus we are overcomers. So, Lord, I pray right now for new strength and for peace. I pray for your grace and for your mercy. Help us understand that only through the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, can we truly be set free. So in the name that is above all other names, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.